I'm quite a hero, in my imagination. I can imagine myself back in the days of the early Christian church. The Roman soldiers would have just picked me up after preaching with Paul in Ephesus, and they would be dragging me back to the Colosseum. They'd throw me in, and my face would shine with a holy light, and my perfect, not poofy hair at all would blow in the breeze. And I'd lean in, narrow my eyes, and say in my best Mark Harstead voice, "Go ahead, make my afterlife." Yeah, I'm quite a martyr in my mind. And yet with two busloads of kids coming to protest tomorrow, I find myself unsettled. At Bethany, it's easy for us to forget that there is a whole world out there that hates us. At this school, we can sort of form a little protective bubble. On a normal day, I'm surrounded by people who, for whatever other differences we might have, at least believe and practice the same way that I do. The unpleasant intrusions of the outside world can be limited to what I choose to listen to on NPR or what I happen to pass by while I'm changing channels on the TV. But tomorrow, the outside world comes to us, and that bubble is popped. And it comes with a little bit of a reminder. Christians are not popular. Persecutions always seem like something that happened in India when the seminary there is raided by the police. Or in Thailand when a Wells minister is martyred for preaching to the Hmong. Or 2,000 years ago when Christians were being burned at the stake or fed to lions. Persecutions seem like something that happened long ago and far away. But now it's here. And it's tomorrow, and it's every day for the rest of our lives. While we are here on earth, we can expect to face a lot of persecution, and the Lord tells us in our text today how to approach these trying times. Our text is taken from the second chapter of the book of 1 Peter, beginning at verse 21. Please rise for this reading. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Now may the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen." Please be seated. "For to this you have been called," is what our text says. We should expect to be persecuted. In other words, this is not going to be an isolated incident in your lives. For some of us, tomorrow might be the most visible brush with persecution to date, but it certainly will not be the last. And it may not be the most serious either. Consider Peter's situation as he writes this letter. Emperor Nero was going through one of the most brutal Christian persecutions in all of history. It's even said that his gardens were lit by Christians burning at the stake. Today, those times can seem very far away. We aren't holding chapel in a crypt in order to avoid detection by the authorities, although we did have to get here through the catacombs today. We aren't concerned that Soul Force is going to come with lions to hunt us down. We live in a country that officially tolerates our religion. Unfortunately, we live in a world that does not. Christians still find themselves the scapegoats for the world's problems. Soul Force is just a very visible persecution. The world attacks us every day. And despite the heroic images that I and perhaps many of you may have of ourselves in our heads, we succumb to these persecutions every day and are defeated. Consider the challenges that you face regularly in your day-to-day life. When your peers pressure you to do something that you know full well to be wrong. When you're embarrassed to be a Christian because of how you know you're supposed to act. When we fall to peer pressure, or when we're embarrassed by our faith, we succumb to persecution just as surely as Peter did in the courtyard, denying that he ever knew Christ. Many of you will be graduating soon, leaving Bethany's sheltered side, and your faith is going to be put to the test over and over and over. If we rely on ourselves, we are doomed to be crushed underfoot. Day after day, we show ourselves not to be the heroic martyr standing next to Polycarp in the Colosseum. On our own, we are cowards in our faith. So what hope do we have? When we can't even stand up to these small, daily persecutions, how can we possibly hope to stand up against this very public, very visible, very humiliating persecution? What chance do we have when we're so weak? Well, where we were weak in dealing with the troubles and temptations and persecutions of this world, Jesus Christ was strong for us. He suffered a persecution that not only did he not deserve, but one that had all the grief of every trial that you and I will ever face loaded onto it. Our text says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Jesus Christ carried our sins, he carried our weaknesses up Calvary, and he bore the pain and punishment that was meant for us. So how do we stand up to persecution when we're so weak? St. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, "But he being God, said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" When we suffer for being imitators and followers of Christ, we are not standing alone against the troubles of this world. Our almighty, omniscient, omnipresent God stands right beside us. It's like being tossed into the Colosseum to face a lion when you have an entire army surrounding you, ready to fight and protect you. That doesn't mean that we won't have difficulties in this world. Our text says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." As imitators of Christ, we share in his sufferings. Think about what it means to be an imitator of Christ. Our text today refers back to what the prophet Isaiah said about the coming Messiah in Isaiah 53, verse 7. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." If we are going to share in Christ's persecutions and sufferings, like our text says, the manner in which he endured these hardships is important for us to imitate. He bore his torments with love for his persecutors. That's not an easy thing to do. I'm certainly not feeling too warm and fuzzy about the people who are coming tomorrow to protest my religion, who are comparing me to the people who opposed the civil rights movement or the British occupiers of India, who want to make me look like an ignorant, outdated imbecile in the press. And yet, sharing in Christ's sufferings, we bear them the same way that he did, saying as he said in Luke 23, 34, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He gives us the power to view these people not as the enemy, but as straying sheep who need to be returned to the shepherd of their souls. God provides us with the strength to forgive and to love and to never surrender through his means of grace, the word and sacrament. In Scripture, we have a power source that outlasts any trend, any movement, any persecution. We have eternal hope. Persecutions, both great and small, await you for the rest of your life. Tomorrow might be a blip on the radar of your existence, or it may be a very difficult ordeal. There are times that you are going to succumb. There are times that you are going to fail. But Jesus Christ took these failures upon himself so that you always have another chance to stand up. Our Heavenly Father provides you with the strength and the support necessary to endure these difficult days and promises you the gift of heaven, not because of your righteous works, but because of his grace. May the Lord's own hand bear you up in whatever persecutions you might face. Amen.